What I'm doing with this material, I'm actually reworking material that I've done before. What I'm finding that I'm doing is I go through it, I reteach myself what I had thought before. I think, why did I say it that way? You know, I don't like my notes. I have to readjust it. And the way it was done before, I think it was more in a lecture style, so I'm converting this into discussion style. So initially this was just one lesson, and I got about a third of the way through it, and I thought, you know, this might just take us our time. Depends how much you talk. So if you want a break at the end where you get to sit around and wait for the other classes to be done, then you won't talk much. But if you want to engage with our text, then you'll talk a little bit. That's the plan. So as you notice, I've given the title The Anatomy of a Fool. It's sort of a, I guess it's to catch your attention. I'm not sure anatomy is exactly the right description. What we're going to be looking at is characteristics of foolishness in Proverbs, but we're going to be looking at it almost as a progression from one stage to another in foolishness. And in a way, it's a portrait of a man on a path, and it ends in foolishness or even worse. And the worst has to do with the wicked. Those who are greedy, violent, threaten innocent life, practice deceit and cruelty. These are, in Proverbs, they're a special class of fools who are filled with cunning but not wisdom. People whose lives are overturned and live in chaos of their own making. So the person who is a fool in Proverbs may not necessarily be wicked, but the philosophy of a fool undergirds the wicked, I think is what we're trying to say. So, I have this in your notes. The fool meets us under various names. This comes from Kidner's commentary. I'm going to give you this verse that is also in your text. Proverbs 1:22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. And so we have these three terms, the naive, in the King James it's the simple, the scoffer, the King James I think says scorner, and the fool. And so I have a proposition which I didn't put on the screen. I thought about doing it, but I don't know why I didn't. The fool of Proverbs is a comprehensive look at a man in varying degrees of spiritual antagonism to the things of God. So that's who the fool is. The fool of Proverbs is a comprehensive look at a man in varying degrees of spiritual antagonism to the things of God. So we're going to start with the simple or the naive. And I'm going to be giving you some passages. The first one is going to be dealing with the chief characteristic of the simple. And I'm going to give you the word that goes in the blank. I think that comes right up. Very quickly, I think I'm going to do my, I have a little bit of notes I want to talk about, and then I'll give you the word. Okay, so, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Now, what's interesting is that word entice there is the verb form of the same word for simple. Okay, so, you could put it this way, if sinners fool you, okay, if sinners deceive you, sinners attract you, do not consent. So there's various meanings depending on the Hebrew form. In one form it means to be gullible. In another form it means to allow oneself to be persuaded. And then in a third form it means to seduce or mislead or to tempt. This root meaning of being easily seduced is maintained in all of its forms. And so the word that I'm going to use here is gullible. The simple person is gullible. All right, so I'll stop for discussion because gullible is a word, I guess you probably have a hazy idea of what it means, but maybe we should define it a bit more. Would anybody care to offer a definition of gullible? Or a comment?
Oh, Believe Anything.
All right.
They buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
They buy the Brooklyn Bridge. Yes. Yeah. I have a bridge to sell you. It's like there was a song my dad used to sing. Must have come from the 40s or something. And about some guy he met, the singer is talking about some guy he met, and he says there must have been some mistake. He had something to fix up. There must have been some kind of mix-up, but he took my $20 and it hasn't come back. And I don't remember exactly how the words go, but you get the picture. The gullible is somebody who's easily deceived. Right, Gordon?
Doesn't question. He believes without question.
Believes without question. Yes.
Yeah, just a quick question. How much are you selling the bridge for?
How much are we selling the bridge for? Oh, for you, James, a special price.
Oh,
and see, that's, you get that. It's so funny. I have been in sales when I was working. I love sales. I was in sales for many, many years. But there are people in sales who do not tell the truth. I don't know if you're aware of that. And you do have to be wise when you're dealing with them. Often, I remember my very first car that I bought. It was a Dodge Charger, 400 cubic inch engine, 4-barrel carburetor. And man, it could go, man. And the guy called me up. He said, there's somebody down here looking at it. And I wanted it so bad, I signed the papers. That was a mistake. Anyhow, it was fun to drive. Okay, so, the simple. But see, that's an example of the simple. Enticed, right? Okay. I was enticed and made a foolish decision, actually. My dad bailed me out, which was fortunate. He often had to do that with me. I don't know. There was something. Okay, but as a young person, young people tend to be more susceptible to the enticements of the deceitful, right? Which brings us to the next set of verses. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. That's Proverbs 1:4. That's the purpose of Proverbs. Then Proverbs 7:7. And I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense. So we have in the parallel construction, here's our word simple or naive. What's the parallel here? What's the parallel word? What's the characteristic?
Lacking sense.
No?
Youth.
The youth. There you go. The youth. Okay, they're youth, they're young. So, it is obvious young people don't have experience. They can be taken in. Maybe they've never bought a car before. Maybe they've never bought a house before. They can make really big financial mistakes, for example, because they don't have experience. They're not quite as wise to the ways of the world. Right? Like even on a human level we're talking about here. But on a spiritual level, if you are a youth or young and you don't have experience, you're not strong in the word, you can easily be taken in by people who sound very smooth and very logical, but they deceive you. Okay? And the youth is a part of that. There is a characteristic of somebody who is simple. I don't know how to expand that anymore unless somebody wants to say something. Okay, so let's go to the next one. I saw among the naive and I discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. So this is again that same verse, but then Proverbs 9:4, whoever is naive, let him turn in here, and to him who lacks understanding, she says. And again in Proverbs 9:16, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says. So these are the two women, wisdom and folly, and they're both appealing to the simple. They're both appealing to the simple. What is the common characteristic here now of this young man?
Lacking sense.
Lacking sense. Okay, so they're lacking sense. Okay. So this is they're the ones that are most likely to be taken in. Any comment or discussion on this before I move to the next slide?
Is it the same as lacking understanding?
Lacking understanding, lacking sense. Same idea. Okay, so Rob?
Yeah, and I guess it's not just, obviously, you said it's also spiritual. It's not just financial, but, like, you can make so many errors in your youth thinking, like, because you're misled.
Yes.
You don't just have one drink, it won't hurt you. Or,
yes.
You know, here, everyone's smoking. This is back in the 70s.
Yes.
Everyone's smoking.
Yes.
You know, what can it hurt you or whatever?
Yes,
and
yeah.
I came to a point where I didn't know anyone that didn't wish they couldn't quit smoking or couldn't smoke.
Yes, yeah, you know? Yeah, that's right.
But at the time, we thought it was... Their youth, they thought it was great, and then they're like broke and got,
yeah. You know, wanted to quit. Yeah, that's right. All right, Gordon.
I think the lacking sense is a natural thing that is with youth, and it's up to parents to help them learn sense.
That's right.
So that they will question.
That's right. That's right. So that is a common characteristic, and it is up to parents to help kids, young people, to learn sense. So I want to welcome Bo, you and Betty. Just so you see, they just got here. They came over on the ferry this morning and here for Christmas. So we're glad to see them. And Mary, I'm glad you're all here. Okay, so so this is a characteristic of the simple. And you know, we're often thinking, and we think about it in terms of the young people or the youth, and so they lack discretion. And so they make mistakes. So this is the idea that we have here. All right, so let's go on to the next one, which is, I saw among the naive, again the same verse, discern among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Then chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool. So what characteristic might you see in this set of verses? As you see the simple person.
Easily led astray.
Easily led astray, easily enticed. What were you going to say, Emily?
Self-indulgent.
Self-indulgent. Okay, so I put easily seduced is the term that I put in, but all of the things you said are correct. The thing is, one of the things that strikes me, there's the persuasions, there's the enticements, and then suddenly, okay, suddenly he makes a decision, and it's the wrong decision. All right, Gordon?
They, like the ox, they have no idea they're going to the slaughter.
Yeah, right? That's right.
They don't know.
That's right. They don't know where they're going. That's right. And I think, you know, we could say hasty as well. Hasty decisions. You know, it's one thing, you know, if somebody entices you, there's always people out there. It seems like in the malls, if you go somewhere, especially these times, there's people in the middle of the mall with a little kiosk and they're trying to get your attention. You know, they want your money. They don't care about you at all. I don't know if you're aware of that. And they, but the, you know, if you don't know, what you're looking for, or something about these things, you can easily be taken in. And so the simple person is, you know, he's hasty, easily seduced. Gordon, Daryl.
Well, those are obvious salesmen, right?
Yes.
But the ones that get you are the ones you think you're just talking.
Yeah.
And then you don't realize, no, this person's selling you on something.
That's right,
and
yeah.
And you're not even aware of the fact that he's...
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and that can happen within peer groups and other situations. All right, Debbie?
Yes, and I would say in our sensual society, the fact that he's using this kind of an illustration, that is an area where youth are just
right.
All falling.
Right. So sensation is a big deal. In our society, that's absolutely true. They sell all kinds of things certainly with sexuality, but they're not necessarily selling sexuality. They're selling it with that. You see what I mean? And so, you know, if you drink this pop, you'll have the best looking girlfriend or whatever. And that's the kind of, there is that pressure is all around us all the time. The simple person is easily swayed by such things. All right, Marlene.
Oh, I would see that starving for affection or not knowing the Word of God, you're starving
right.
for what is right and good. And you...
All right, so certainly, yeah, so the simple person doesn't have, there's no wherewithal there. There's nothing to back him up. He doesn't make a good decision because he has nothing to inform his decisions. All right, Debbie.
Yeah, my comment was that I see young people, by and large, losing their purity.
Yeah.
And that's what this is a picture of, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
It's just, they have no idea the long-term implications of
absolutely.
Those kinds of...
And you know, praise the Lord, there is grace for people who've had trouble in various areas of life, including that area. There is grace. God can redeem anybody's life. But in simplicity, so many decisions are made that, you know, you look back and you say, no, that was foolish. I shouldn't have made that decision. All right? Lola.
Yeah, I'm thinking the simple person might not necessarily be easily subdued. But it might be someone thinking, oh, I can handle this.
Oh, sure.
You were the seductress and... nothing is going to happen.
Right, yeah, I'm in control, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in control.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. That's right. So a little bit of self-deception going on as well. And of course, you think about young men. I mean, they're strong. They're the best-looking guy in the world. And they can handle everything, right? I can see. You know, those guys I went to high school with. They're all broken down old men now, just like me, but they're, but the ones that are still living. And you know, some of them made some very tragic decisions throughout life. All right, so we're ready to move on to the next one? Okay. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. The naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. So, okay, so this one, you may not, I'm just going to give you what I put, and then we can talk about it. So I put not sensible. Maybe there's a better word for this. So maybe you can suggest a better word for me. All right. Anybody have something?
Credulous.
Pardon me?
Credulous.
Well, they are credulous, yes. That means similar to gullible in a way. But the sensible person, they think through things. You know, we all have to, I guess in my world, some of the dumbest things I've done is buy things that I shouldn't have bought. And, I hope I've learned to read up on what I'm buying, you know, and get a little bit better sense before I make that decision. Now, one of the things that does happen in a buying situation, is you get to a point you're ready to make the deal. You've read, you've read three articles online. I'm now informed. I've went to Consumer Reports or wherever, and you've talked yourself into making the deal, whether or not you're fully informed or not. And so sometimes even there. You know, maybe he thinks he's well informed, but maybe he's not as well informed as he ought to be. Gordon.
I find verse 18 interesting, is that you inherit foolishness. It's
yeah.
something you're born with, and then you're crowned with knowledge. You've got to learn it.
Yeah.
There's
a process you have to go through. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to realize.
Sometimes you have to make those dumb. Sometimes you have to make those dumb mistakes in order to get the knowledge.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, because
you have to realize you're prone to the foolishness.
Yeah, that's right.
You can go the other way.
That's right. Okay, Fred, were you? You just have your hand up. You're not wishing to speak. Okay.
Zero.
Marlene, were you going to say something? Impulsive, yes, okay. Yeah, that's right. Impulsive, that's a good word too. All right, Rosemary.
Did you also say that there's a lot of people are simple that they want to be wannabes?
Yeah, yes.
You know, they think if I'm just like that.
Yeah, that's right. if I've got the right clothes, I've got the right car, I've got the right whatever, then I'm somebody. Yeah, that's in there too, isn't it? Okay. All right, Rob?
Well, and also this, the naive believes everything verse, we've all met so many people that believe all the lies about Christianity.
And yeah.
Don't look into it for themselves.
Now that's a good application.
Yeah. Like, okay, well, maybe study it, you know.
Yes.
But they just sort of, my brother's like that.
Yeah, and that's a direction I had not thought of, but Rob brings up that the naive in the world, they dismiss Christianity. They believe every lie that they ever read about Christianity, right? Stereotypes and so on and so forth. And they've never really looked into what the Bible actually says. And so simple concerning the Bible. So if we can get people to pause and say, there's something here you should look at. There's something you should learn. Maybe that will help. Okay? Daryl.
Well, and then when you come into Christianity and then you believe everybody that comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, that's right. We have to also be wise concerning those who come and teach us.
Right.
You know, and that's it's easy for me to say that. You know, you have to be wise about who comes and teach you, so listen to me. Right? So how does somebody gain credibility? Well, a lifestyle. Okay, of holiness, relatively speaking, a faithfulness to the Bible. Okay, so there's other Bible teachers out there. Some of them are much better speakers than me. And some of them are actually do follow the Bible. But that's your guide. Okay, so you need to be a student of the Bible. So that when you hear the speaker speaking or teaching, read their writings, that what they're teaching you matches what the Bible says. And usually there's got to be with that a comprehensive, biblical faithfulness. Because anybody can take a passage out of context and make it mean what they want it to mean. So, the simple, when you come to Christianity, the simple studies the Bible. This is a preview of my December 29th message. Read your Bible, all right? But that's really important. All right, let's move on to the next. This is the prudent man sees evil and hides himself. I'm just seeing how much further I got to go. I mean, maybe hurry up now. Prudent man sees evil and hides himself, and the naive go on and are punished for it. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself, and the naive proceed and pay the penalty. Okay, so I'm going to give you, this is the term I put for this one, weak-willed. Okay, now naive, they don't pause, they just go right ahead. All right, and then I'm going to give you the rest of the ones on this slide, and then we'll talk generally about them, and because I'm now starting to feel pressure from the clock, although that clock is a bit slow. Maybe it's not. Okay, so, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Now, we often use this with child rearing, but I want the focus in here is where is the foolishness? Where is the simplicity? It's in the heart. Okay, it's a heart problem. And then, one more. Okay, folly is joy to him who lacks sense. But a man of understanding walks upright. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Those are the Proverbs. And so, the thing I want to key in here, folly is joy to him who lacks sense. And then he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. So the words I have here is vanity or emptiness. Okay? The simple pursues vanity or emptiness. Now, I have this other reference, which is chapter 9. It's the final appeal. This is the end of the section where he's contrasting, basically, on and off, these two women. The first one is Wisdom's Invitation, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. So that's the invitation of wisdom. Down in verse 13, the woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive. She's simple as well and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So the last sentence I have, the simple can either be led or misled. So that's my last passage. Okay. So I've rushed through these last few characteristics. Any further comments on this particular point as we talk about the characteristics of the simple person? Anybody want to add something to us? Debbie?
I think Gordon was saying that we all start out simple.
We all start out simple, that's right.
It's who we choose to be led by.
It's who we choose to be led by, that's right. Okay, or misled by,
yeah,
as the case may be. Okay, so then the next thing is the fate of the simple without wisdom. And I'm going to probably rush through this as well. Okay, the naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. We saw that verse earlier. So notice the naive inherit foolishness. They pass on into foolishness. So their fate is they pass on into foolishness. And then chapter 1, verse 32, the waywardness of the naive will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. So ultimately, if somebody pursues the path of simplicity and into foolishness, it will lead to destruction. Okay. And then here's the appeal of wisdom again. And the only cure is then turning to wisdom. Now, this last one. This comes from Kidner. The verse is here, but strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd. But reprove one who has understanding and he will gain knowledge. So notice the two contrasts. Strike a scoffer and the simple may become shrewd. Now what does that mean? Okay, now Kidner, this quote comes from Kidner, this word. A fool may need a visual aid to bring him to repentance. He may need to get smacked around a little bit by life. Okay. So, quote here from Kidner. He says, if the simple refuses wisdom, he will graduate to a more serious condition. The simple acquire folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. For one does not stay still. A man who is empty-headed will end up wrong-headed. Okay. So we're starting with the simple. This person is not, I mean, he's no more evil than anybody else, but he's just naive. He's gullible. He's foolish. He's easily led, easily misled, and it depends who gets to him first and makes bad decisions. And the consequences can be quite destructive. All right, any comments there before we move on to my application questions? Darrell.
Well, shrewdness isn't wisdom, though, right? I don't think.
Maybe. Well,
not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, not necessarily. Now, in English, I'd have to look at the Hebrew word and see what the connotation is. But in English, shrewd does have kind of can have a negative connotation.
Street smart.
Street smart, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So they become, but, and there is, there that is true. That's true. You could become shrewd in the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. But the point that Kidner is making is that they sometimes a hard lesson has to be learned to gain that, even that level of wisdom, right? And anything else? Okay, so let's go to these application questions. This is where I was trying to get to. That's why I rushed this last little bit. Okay, number one. If a man exhibits these characteristics in his 30s and older, can he still be called simple?
Yeah.
Now, here are some yeses.
Yeah.
Want proof?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, well, I guess what I'm getting at is, at what point does a person move from simplicity to foolishness?
Oh.
See?
I'm still working on it.
You're still working on it. Well, I think in some senses we all are, because we do, sometimes do make foolish decisions, right? But in terms of in a lot of things, I mean, I've used things about, because the things that I think about, so many dumb things I've done, often had to do with buying something that I shouldn't have bought. So those are things, probably I still am susceptible to some of that. Right? My wife smiles. All right? But you know, if I have this thing, I used to call it, I have a wanter. And once I've decided I want something, it's like, I gotta have it. Okay? All right, Rob.
Perhaps an example would be of this is I've had friends who, drank a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the crowd I ran in my early 20s. But it's all fun and games in your early 20s. But if you're in your 50s,
yeah,
and you're still like drinking heavily,
yeah,
you've got a problem.
Yes,
it's no longer naivety.
Yeah.
And two of those people, in one relation or another, have died.
Yeah.
In their 50s.
Yeah.
And it's not fun and games.
It's an addiction at that point, right? Yeah. So they're bound by chains. So yeah, that's sort of what I'm getting at is that the expectation is, okay, it's one thing, you got a kid, I don't know how many, you got a teenager in your house or younger, you expect them to be simple. Right? There, that sort of goes with the territory. You want to train them as best you can to be wise. Right? And they're still going to make mistakes even though you've done your best training them. But after a while, if somebody persists in this path of life, they're really just a fool. They've seen enough of life that they should know better. Right? Okay, and of course, to a certain degree, none of us are as wise as God, and so we can say we all lack wisdom. Like if you want to be humble, we all lack wisdom. We all need God's guidance. Yes, Debbie.
Yeah. So I think your question was saying or implying or trying to get us to realize simplicity or being a simple person. It's not a static state.
Right, it's not a static state, and
no,
you can't.
In fact, no state is really.
Right, and you cannot say, "Oh, I'm just so simple." There's a character in Bleak House, and Mr. Skimpole, and he just, "Oh, I'm just a child." You know, he's very evil. He's always trying to scam people out of money. Yeah, and, "Oh, I didn't know that." It was like, "Yeah, really? Sure, you didn't." All right, so Marlene.
God will leave us on our own.
Yeah.
Learn.
That's right. There's a point at which God abandons people to their ways. Yeah. It's always God's grace that intervenes. All right. So the next question: what are some other words to describe the simple person? So this one is probably we've used a few today. I wonder if there's anything else that came to your mind as we talked about this.
An idiot.
That kid. All right. Anybody else want to contribute to the depth of our discussion? Emily?
I like the word tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery. That's a good word, yes. All right, Debbie.
I think we have to see them as in danger.
Pardon me?
I think we have to see people like that as in danger.
In danger. That's right. Yeah, they need to learn and they need to make a change. All right, Lola.
Can we say insecure as well?
Sure, insecure, yes. Okay, that's a good one, yes. All right. Anybody else? Fred?
Proud and gullible.
Proud and gullible, that's right, yes. Okay, Rosemary.
People who want to be in control.
People who want to be in control of their own life, yes. You can't tell me what to do, right? Okay. All right, Debbie?
Prospects for the gospel.
Prospects for the gospel. Yes, all right. Marlene?
Self-will.
Self-will. That's right. Okay, so let's move to the next one. What will it take for the simple to turn away from folly and turn towards wisdom? Addie?
A willing heart.
A willing heart. Okay, a willing heart. All right? Anything else? Fred?
Motivation.
Pardon me?
Motivation.
Motivation, all right. Something's going to have to motivate them to change their thinking. Crystal?
Hitting rock bottom.
Hitting rock bottom, yes. The prodigal son. So, like, there I am in the pig pen. And I, you know, how did I get here, right? Okay, so that is a, you know, hopefully somebody who will change, maybe they'll listen to somebody along the way before they get there. But sometimes that's what, and praise the Lord for the rock bottom. If that's what it takes, praise the Lord for it, right? Okay, the Lord, we go through hard things in life and we finally say, I need something else. Then, okay, so here's the Lord. If somebody tells you about him and, okay, here's an answer that I can follow. All right. Was there anybody else have a thought here? Rob?
Well, just thinking of an example, like Maureen and I know Pastor DeBagno, who used to be in Italy and he's in the eastern United States now. He's got a fantastic prison ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He's there all the time, seeing lots of genuine converts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would almost argue he's more effective in his retirement than he was.
Yeah.
When people, as someone said, when they hit rock bottom.
Yes.
And then along comes.
Yes.
Gospel, you know?
That is a tremendous ministry. All right. Yes. All right. Fred.
I think disappointment.
Sure.
In life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Disappointments. Maybe somebody gets to the point where they realize they're like Solomon in Ecclesiastes. And I said, I've tried everything, and none of it's any good, right? And so, by the way, I have in the latest Frontline, the November-December Frontline, there's an article on Ecclesiastes, and I did an interview with the author, and that will come out after Christmas. So on the podcast, I hope you're aware of that, and maybe you'll look for that one. He's great to talk to. I really enjoy talking to him, and he is. But I think that one was a tremendous article and a tremendous conversation. All right, let's move on to the last question. How can the wise help the simple turn from folly? How can the Richard?
They can share the gospel.
They can share the gospel. All right. Anything else, Marilyn?
Discipleship.
Okay, so that means taking time, right? Discipleship means taking time with somebody. Okay, so you orient your schedule around them to try to help them to grow. All right, anything else? Fred? Being an example.
It takes time.
It takes time. They have to get to know you, too.
Praying for them.
Okay, very good. Okay, so this worked out just the way I thought it would. We're right on time. You all contributed, so that's good. And we're not early and we're not late. So let's just have a word of prayer and we'll close. Our Father, we thank you for this look at the simple. Lord, we pray for your blessing as we consider the rest of this portrait or this anatomy in the book of Proverbs. And we pray for your guidance as we think about these passages. Guidance for our own thinking, especially that we would think your way as we go forward in our spiritual lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.